Welcome to a new episode of the Apostolic and Prophetic Podcast. Today is Saturday, the 11th of May, Shabbat Shalom, and we will continue with our series, Comparison of Islam and Christianity. And why is this so important? Because Jesus said to his disciples, and this is also still valid for us, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. I mean, we should baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and to teach them to obey everything what Jesus said. So also Apostle Paul said that I have become everything for everyone, to the Romans a Roman and to the Greeks a Greek. And the thing is, if we want to reach people, we need to know how they are thinking. If you want to reach an atheist, you need to understand the thinking of an atheist. That's why also is the best, if you were an atheist, if you're preaching to atheists, because you know exactly the way how an atheist is thinking about faith, about God, about Jesus, about Christianity, and so on. And it's the same way, of course, the best way, if a Muslim who was a Muslim and who became a believer in Jesus Christ is preaching to other Muslims, because he knows exactly how is the Muslim thinking about Christianity, about Jesus, about faith, and so on. But there's another reason why we need to know what actually are the foundations of the Muslim faith. And this is because in the Western world, we have more and more Muslims living in the big cities. And in some districts, they are even in the majority now. And there are also various problems associated with this. We could see also now when this happened with Israel on the 7th October last year, Israel was attacked by Hamas and more than 1,000 people were killed. I don't know the exact number, but it was a terrible terror attack and with such a cruelty. And Hamas was not just, there were not just Hamas fighters, they were also supported by the civilians and the civilian population in the Gaza Strip. And the thing is that often people are saying, especially in the Western world, this has nothing to do with Islam. And this is actually far from true, because the narrative is, okay, there are extremists and there are also believers that, there are extremists and there is the mainstream Islam. And the mainstream Islam is peaceful, they are nice people, and there is no danger coming from their side. And it's just the misled, the extremists, who are perverting, you could say, the scriptures and the nature, the true peaceful nature of Islam, and shedding a bad light on that religion. But the thing is, if we want to see what is actually real Islam, we need to go to the scriptures. We need to go to the, you could say, to the foundation of the faith. It is the same with Christianity. If you want to know what is the real essence of the Christian faith, you need to go to the Bible. And you need to compare, you could say, what people who claim to be Christians with what is written in the Bible. And because the foundation and the source is the Bible. And the same is in Islam. In Islam, you have various scriptures that are the foundation. One is the Quran. And according to Muslim understanding, it was given to Muhammad or revealed to Muhammad by the archangel Gabriel in a cave, and that he got this divine revelation, and that is the last revelation. And all the revelations that were given before to the Christians and to the Jews, wherever it is like different than in the Quran, the scriptures, the Christian and Jewish scriptures, they were perverted, they were corrupted by the Christians and by the Jews. So that's why, according to Muslim understanding, only the Quran or the Quran is the real, undefiled revelation from God. Okay, But there are also other scriptures. There are also the Hadith. And the Hadith are mainly collections, and there are several collections. For example, one is the collection from Al-Bukhari, and another one is from Muslim, and there are several other collections. And it's basically what people were hearing, what Muhammad was saying. Or sometimes it's like one person heard from another person who again heard from another person that Muhammad, in the presence of that person, said this and that. For example, that's why you have, let's say, also the description in the beginning of the Hadith, who was hearing from whom something what Muhammad was saying. So, and it would sound like this in English, let's say like this, if you would say, okay, John was hearing from David, and David was hearing from Andrew that Muhammad said about this and that something, let's say like this. And then it's covering basically various topics of everyday life. And why is this so important? Because in the Quran, on the Quran, is written that the believers, the Muslim believers, should follow the example of Muhammad. That in the messenger, God was giving a good example for the believers. And therefore, there's a third, you could say, source of knowledge and revelation for the Muslims, and this is the biography of Muhammad. And there are also several biographies, but the biography of Muhammad, describing his life, is very important for the Muslims, because again, they need to focus on following in his footsteps. So we have here, you could say, a different scripture. And in the first sight, there are many similarities. We mentioned this already in the last episode. So, for example, in the Quran, you also have Adam mentioned. You also have Abraham, who is Ibrahim in the Quran. You also have Solomon, who is Suleiman. You also have Moses, who is Musa. You also have Job, even. You have also Jesus, who is Isa, for example. But all these, you could say, stories, even they sound familiar in the beginning, or the names sound familiar, they are telling a different story, you could say. This is a different narrative. And like I said, for example, Jesus will also come back in the Muslim understanding. So if you are telling to a Muslim, Jesus is coming back, you would say, of course he's coming back. If you are saying Jesus is alive, a Muslim also could say, yeah, of course he is alive, because he never died. According to Islam, Jesus never died. He was, God replaced him with one of his disciples, so that the Jews killed one of his disciples, and Jesus was taken in a similar way like Elijah directly to heaven, and he is now in the second heaven waiting for his return. So he was never crucified according to Islam, and when he comes back, he will come back as a Muslim. He will come back as a Muslim to destroy the cross, to tell the truth, you could say, to the Christians about his faith, and to reveal actually to them that he is a Muslim. And he will also pray 5 times per day when he comes back. And he comes back together, you could say, or he comes back when the Mahdi is about to enter the war with Israel and to invade Israel. So Jesus, according to the Muslim understanding, or Isa, the Messiah, Isa al-Masih, so Jesus the Messiah, will come to fight actually together with the Muslim armies, to lead the Muslim armies together with the Mahdi, which is the charismatic, savior of the end times in Islam, against Israel. And Jesus will also abolish Christianity, and according to Islam, they will conquer Israel, and they will also abolish the jizya. The jizya is a special tax that the people of the scripture, the Jews and the Christians, had to pay under Islamic rule in order to be protected. So they still could keep their faith, but of course they were not allowed to build new churches, or not allowed to repair churches that were damaged or destroyed They were also not allowed to publicly public proclaim their faith, also not allowed to evangelize, you could say, or to spread their faith among Muslims. So by this, Jesus, according to Islamic understanding, will abolish. So then there will be no other option left. Either you convert or you die. Either you come to faith or you die. And according to the Muslim understanding, the Christians will, when Jesus is coming back as a Muslim, they will convert to Islam. So we can see there's a totally different narrative and story about the persons we know from the Bible in the Quran, And so this is one thing. So it's a different name of God. We mentioned this last time, more than 6,800 times in the Bible is written the name of God, Yahweh. There's a different scripture. And because of that, also a different understanding of who God is. Because we understand that God is a person. Because it is written in the first book of Moses, when God created man, in chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Okay, so we know this, but this is very crucial, the understanding of a different understanding of who God is. So according to the Bible, God created us in his image. That means that we actually look like God. Of course, God is far superior and far more perfect than we are. So, but what I want to say is, and also God is a spirit, that God has a body. God has eyes, God has hands, God has a head, God has hair, God has a body. And that, in the Muslim understanding, is really a big sin to say this, because according to their understanding, God is not a person. And God has no characteristics of the created things, because according to their understanding, he is the creator, and the creator is standing above the created things. So he has no characteristics of the created things. So he has no body, because all the created things have a body. The birds, the animals, humans, and you could say even stones have a shape, a form, and so on. So basically, God has not a has no shape. God has is not a person. Also, to their understanding, God cannot have children. God cannot have a son. He doesn't need a woman, and so on and so forth. Of course, God has no woman, but we know that God, who is a spirit, in order to reveal himself to us, to the world, he had to, you could say, use a body, a human body. And that's why Jesus is called God in the flesh. And that's why the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of God and who is God, was coming on Mary. And actually, she, you could say, delivered the body that God could walk around and show his love to us through Jesus. Okay, we know all this, but according to the Muslim understanding, that is a very big sin to even say this or think like this, because they have a totally different image of God. And this is also crucial, because the main thing, it's not about having a relationship with God. It's basically to be a servant of God, or you could say more actually like a slave of God. This is the goal, you could say, also in Islam, to submit to the will of God. And to the will of God, to submit means to submit to the laws of God that were given through Muhammad. And these laws in Islam, they separate all the things in things that are allowed, that means halal, and things that are forbidden, that means haram. And then there are things that are despicable, that should be despised, but that don't cause punishment to come on you or on a Muslim. And these things are called makruh. For instance, if you eat garlic and you go after that to the mosque. Of course, you will not be punished by God for this, but it's something that is despicable, that should be despised, but you are not punished for this. And then there are things like, for example, the duties you have to do, like the prayer and the Hajj, that is the pilgrimage to Mecca, for which you get reward from God. Okay, but we will not go too deep into this. In a future episode, I think we will cover this one. But we need to understand it's a different God, a different name of God, a totally different image of God, and a different foundation, scriptural foundation, with different revelation, with things that are, you could say, about things that sound similar in the first place, but they are not. It's not the same. And resulting from the different image about God, there's also a different image about humans. Because if God created us in his image, in his likeness, that means, how to say, every other human being you're seeing is created in the image of God. And that's why also in the Bible it was said, I mean, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your understanding, and your neighbor as yourself. This we understand, because your neighbor, the other humans, are created in God's image, in God's likeness. That's why actually Satan hates us so much, because whenever he sees humans, he sees the image of God. He is reminded about God, and he lost against God the battle in heaven, and he was cast down to earth. And then on earth, he still had no authority, because Adam and Eve had the authority, but he saw them. He saw those, you could say, two creatures that were created in the exact same way how God looks like, and who had even a relationship with God, and who had the authority over the earth. So that's why he actually wanted to destroy this relationship between them and God, and also to destroy humans, because he knows by this he can hurt God the most. Satan can hurt God the most by destroying the relationship that God wants to have with humans. And of course, because he hates us, because we look like God. So, and that's why it's also written in the Old Testament, the one who sheds human blood, the blood of that person shall be shed. This was written in the Old Testament. And then there was an explanation, because man is created in the image of God. And this is a fundamental difference to Islam, where actually the people are divided in two groups, in the believers and in the unbelievers. And you could say the human doesn't have that same value, because he is not created in the image of God. Of course, there is a very important value ascribed to believers, to the Muslims, but to the unbelievers, that's why you have a lot of scriptures. We will go also through this in the future, in the Quran, also a lot of stories in the Hadith, that unbelievers can be killed because they are unbelievers and don't follow the right faith and are idol worshippers and so on and so forth. But this is because also in Islam, people don't understand that humans are created in the image and likeness of God. And I'm not saying this to say Islam is bad in general and all the Muslims are like this and that. This is not the aim of that podcast, because God loves everyone. God loves Muslims, God loves Christians, God loves even atheists. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life." So God's attitude also towards unbelievers is love. He loves people. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to come to the understanding of the right way, to repent from their sins, to turn away from their wicked ways. And this is very important to understand. And if you read the scriptures in Islam, if you start to read the Quran, there you see that there is a total different attitude towards unbelievers in the Quran and in the Hadith and in the Muslim understanding, if you compare that with the approach towards unbelievers we should have in the Bible and the Word of God. According to the Christian faith, we should win the people who don't believe. We consider them as lost. But if you look in Islam, actually there is love and compassion. This is mainly for believers, for other Muslims, for your fellow Muslim, but not for the unbelievers. For the unbelievers, there is actually just judgment or even hate. Muslims should not have friends as unbelievers, don't seek the good of unbelievers, and so on and so forth. And these are fundamental differences, and they are rooted and based in the teachings of Islam, in a different scriptural foundation, which leads to a different understanding of who God is and how humans are and how we should behave towards other humans that are having the same faith or not having the same faith. And we need to understand this, that this is a fundamental difference. And we just need to have it in the back of our head. So to sum it up, there is it's not the same God. And there are similarities, but just at first sight. But if we look deeper into it, they are fundamentally different and telling a different story and leading, you could say, to a different guideline of how we should live our life and how we should treat other people if they don't believe in God. Okay, we will continue next time with this series to look closer into various aspects that Islam teaches about life and also about how to be saved, how you can be saved from your sins, how your sins can be forgiven, and how you can come, for example, to heaven. And we will look into this next time. So have a nice weekend, a nice Shabbat, and see you next time. Shalom.